Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Evan. I'm in Waukesha. You listen to me on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, the Shaw. Evan's over there in Madison. You listen to him on 1580 AM as well as, that's WTTN as well as 92.7 FM. That's Double Radio. You can check us out on the Double Radio app. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can text us on that same line, 844-967-2789. I just like playing this. I mean, yes, we are living in a hellish hellscape, and you know, hell's bells are ringing right now. But I also like this song. It's pretty cool. I mean, I like to, if I were to, you know, walk in as a wrestler, I would say it'd be Hell's Bells, and I'd walk really, really slow because I've decided that my wrestling name would be Erosion. Like, because it may take a while, but I'll get to you. You know, so I'd walk really, really slow. Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about the shootings that happened over the weekend. Not cool. And you know, again, remember, these people are a part of our society, and these people are a product of our society. And eventually, hopefully, every single one of the people that perpetrated this, you know, notwithstanding, will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, because, come on, this is absolutely awful. I don't think we need to overstate that. But these people are going to face law enforcement. They're going to face the criminal justice system at some point. And they're probably, some of them are going to be back out on, I mean, probably not the guy in Buffalo, but they may have opportunities to go and redeem themselves. So I got a piece that I want to read to you in a little bit here. But first, I want to get to the callers. Let's see what Brad in Madison has to say. How you doing, Brad?
Good afternoon. I think this is a really important conversation, and I really hope we keep it going. I think we need, I don't have exact statistics in front of me. We can find these, but I'm going to talk in generalities. We need to understand, in addition to all that you're saying, that 60% of the gun deaths in the United States of America generally are by suicide. And
absolutely,
there will be 45,000 gun deaths in the United States of America this year, and that dwarfs per capita any other country in the world. And the majority of those are by suicide. And we know the demographic. That's middle-aged young white men that are killing themselves with a gun. Let's go back in history. The NRA used to be recreation, hunting. I took gun certification class as a kid, and we need to understand that this idea of protection and Second Amendment rights is really a lobbying marketing scheme, because gun sales were dropping historically as we move more urban away from rural. The literal sales of guns have been going down, and 30, 40 years ago, they were precipitously moving downward. So if we start to understand that they're really just trying to market a product and make us be afraid, so they switch the marketing towards, you need to be afraid, it's for protection, and that changed the whole game. Certainly there was a surge of violent crime somewhere in the 70s or 80s, but after that, violent crime continued to go down, even though gun sales continued to go up. So they're not correlated, but our society wasn't more unsafe. But that was the message that was given, because we can superimpose on a United States of America map the counties of the literal states that have the most guns, that have the most gun deaths. We can superimpose the Republican voting map on that map. On top of that map, we can superimpose the most religious states. On top of that map, we can superimpose the states that pay the least taxes. We can superimpose the states that are least educated. It all correlates red and blue.
I can't argue against anything you're saying, but I want to go back to the suicide situation. And thank you again for your call, Brad. This is very, I can't find a flaw with what you're saying. I understand your logic, and I understand what you're talking about, especially with the suicide deaths. And again, this doesn't mean that you having a gun in your house means that someone's going to kill themselves. It just means that the likelihood of that happening is way greater. Okay, this is also a meeting point of several different problems. Like I said earlier, undealt with trauma. I mean, we keep talking about mental health. And again, you say mental health awareness. We should all be great about mental health. But then again, what are we doing about that? Are we making it easier for people to see anybody? Are we making it more likely that anyone's going to talk to anybody? Everybody, I mean, I see the suicide awareness hotline shared everywhere. But if you've ever been to a point where you're thinking of suicide here, that's just, it's just not going to necessarily do it. I wish it would. And a lot of times it does. And I don't want to poo-poo the suicide hotline. It's fantastic. Go use it as much as possible and that type of thing. I'm just saying that sharing something online isn't really necessarily going to do anything. We have to change the culture fundamentally overall. That's how it's going to be beaten. Again, when you have a bunch of mental issues, plus you have a bunch of outside, fertilizing groups that are putting out their crap everywhere, like, the now NRA, not the old NRA, Republican right that are telling you to fear, and then even the left telling you to fear the Republican right. Be afraid, buy a gun. It feeds the anxiety and the depression that's inside. And if you add a little bit of unresolved trauma on top of there and then stir a little gun in the mix, I am surprised we don't have more. It's going to keep going unless we fundamentally change the culture. Look at the most popular TV shows. Ozark. Is that a happy show? Breaking Bad. Wow, joyous. The Sopranos. Yay! Law and Order. You have an entire series of shows in Chicago wrapped around trauma. Is it because we love the violence? Or is it because we all relate to it so much? We see ourselves in those stories. Is it that we're being swept up in the things that we're interested in? I think it's a little bit of everything. You mix everything into a pot, and now it's hard to even look at what causes it. Let's go back to the phones real quick. Let's go to Bill in Oconomowoc. How you doing, Bill?
Just fine. That previous caller, boy, what an articulate description of what's going on. My hat's off to him. We need people to speak like that to the people that oppose our concepts. But here's the bottom line. We have 120 guns for every 100 people. We pass out guns like candy, and then we drop our jaws when we turn it into the OK Corral. Those people on the right have to be held accountable. They've got blood on their hands. They created this. They built this. Now, you guys better fix it or get out of the way and let somebody who can fix it. And it isn't impossible. Every gun has a serial number other than ghost guns. They're pretty easy to trace. They're pretty easy to figure out. There's a group in Milwaukee called God Touch Milwaukee. I've been part of it off and on. And they deal with hardened gang members who turn their lives over to Christ and change their whole personality and help the community. They would have some input on how to deal with these guns on the street because they were part of it. They know how to do that. Nothing's impossible, just some things are harder to get accomplished than others. But this idea that we put up with a group of far-right people who not only put guns out like candy, they said, oh, take ivermectin, do this. They caused the death of over 100,000 people without batting an eye, and they need to be held accountable. They worry about rights, but they never worry about responsibility. Thanks for your airtime, and tell me what you think.
I appreciate it, Bill. Yeah, that's a lot to unpack there, and not everything is completely related either. And that's the issue, is that it's so... If you... for the regular person, for the folk that you know, just, you know, go to job every day and, you know, kind of barely pay attention to politics other than, you know, this person is this person's that, and that, you know, basic fundamental narrative that we all get. That person, when you show them, it's really interesting, because I think that person watching the news will have a completely different reaction to the shooter in Buffalo than they would to, let's say, the Deer District. And I know that because I saw it firsthand in real time over the weekend. I was with a conservative person who had completely different reactions and different takes on what happened and that type of thing. Whereas, you know, with the Deer District, it was somebody should do something. All these people should do something. We should do something. Someone should do something. Something should be done. People talk. Nobody does anything. But then the reaction when the Buffalo shooting happened, it was, oh my goodness, what a tragedy. Oh my goodness, this is awful. Oh wow, I just pray for everybody. I just can't believe that would happen. Both things are stupid and tragic, and both things were perpetrated by idiots. But and innocent people got injured, and people were killed in Buffalo. People were injured in the Deer District. But they were innocent, and the reactions to the two are just, I didn't say anything. I'm just okay. I'm not gonna, you know. But again, this is how we present it, how we look at it. And again, I would contend that both issues are rooted in the same problem, and I guarantee you there's some sort of unresolved trauma or domestic violence in the past of any of those people involved, more than likely. Now, I want to get into this story here because, again, like I said, these people eventually are going to be part of the criminal justice system. You know, say what you want about what happens to the guy in Buffalo and you what you want to do to the guy and all this horrible anger that, of course, understandably comes from, what are you doing? The people who shot the people in the Deer District, yes, they need to be, they need to understand. But again, what is the punishment for, and who is it for? Because again, if you killed someone and you knew it was wrong, but you felt justified in doing so, no amount of punishment is going to make anything different there. If you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway, and you realize that somebody, you just took a life and somebody's life is gone forever, and you understand the implications of that, and you have a conscience there, you have to live with that for the rest of your life. No matter what punishment someone gives you, you're still going to know it's wrong and you're going to feel horrible about it. But if you're a sociopath serial killer, no amount of punishment is really even going to matter. It's not going to change who that person is. This is what's fascinating about crime and punishment to me, is that what are we trying to do here? I'm not telling you what's wrong or right or anything, but I want to tell you, at least introduce the idea right now. I'm going to read it a little bit from an article when we come back from the break here. But it's about this convicted killer in Israel. When he was 20 years old, he planned and executed a murder. He intentionally killed this guy and killed him like execution style. When he was 20, and now like 27 years later, he's behind bars. It's in Israel. And he's now a multimillionaire with a tech startup. And it's a health tech startup, where you can breathe and they can tell you whether you have COVID or not. You breathe on a strip and they tell you have cancer. It's a huge technology right now that's boosting in the medical field right now. But he's part of it, and he's set to make a couple hundred million dollars, in fact, from selling this tech startup, which also will help save lives. Okay, so, but he's still behind bars. Actually, I think he's free now. But he was behind bars for a good, like, 15, 20 years for this planned murder. Again, what are we doing when we lock these people up? Or what are we trying to seek? What are we looking to do? A lot of times we just, oh, they're jerks. Let's lock them up and throw away the key. And then you forget about it. We pay for it. And then not caring and not paying attention, we just kind of fall by the wayside, and anybody can take advantage of all that situation all you want. We'll talk about redemption when we come back. 844-967-2789.